Amen. Good morning, Hope family. Man, am I excited about this message. Woo! I've been looking forward to being together. I was going to attribute this opening quote to Shakespeare because I thought it was Shakespeare, but I Googled it, and apparently poet Alexander Pope is the one who coined the phrase, "To err is human." And while that's certainly been true since the fall, which we're going to talk about next week, error wasn't true of humanity right out of the gate. Of all the glorious artistry of creation, which we considered last week, human is the most unique aspect. But we often struggle to feel our worth, don't we? We wonder about identity and value. Even at a very young age, we begin to take our cues from those around us. We have questions about identity, like who am I and do I matter and why am I here and how does life work? And these pervasive questions that we all have reveal our deep-rooted sameness. And Genesis 1 explains why. There's something intrinsic to being human that sets us apart from all other creatures, whether we're Nigerian or Australian or Norwegian or Cincinnatian, whether we have blue eyes or brown eyes or we're blonde or brunette or black or red haired, or we're distinct in so many different ways, and yet we are exactly the same at the core. So much so that I am far more, even me, a middle-aged Caucasian dude in Cincinnati, Ohio, I am far more like an 85-year-old woman living outside Beijing than I am like my hickory tree just off my deck, or even Kona, my neighbor's dog, who I greet multiple times a week. I feel like we have something going. But in comparison, that's the point, in comparison, I'm like this with a Chinese woman I have never met on the other side of the planet. How do we account for that? Genesis 1, 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food." And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. There is a dramatic shift here in the narrative in at least three ways. First of all, everything so far has been good. Now it's very good. Don't miss that. The Hebrew literally reads exceedingly good, because God has kicked creation up a notch. Ta-da! With us. Also, note the plural references. It's interesting. Let us, in our image, in our likeness. Now, initially, I think it's true that Israel, believing in one God, likely heard this as maybe a reference to the heavenly council of some sort, as though maybe the angels that God is deliberating with them or to whom he is announcing his decisions. But then, verse 27, God acts on his own. We are made singular in his own image, not in the image of angels. You are made to be like God. That is one of the most profound thoughts your mind will ever think. Last week, one God, before anything, created everything. This week, that one God makes one aspect of his creation to be like him. Now, further revelation, especially in the New Testament, reveals that this plural may be an early reference and a foreshadowing to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's even a hint of that back in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, where it says that the Spirit of God hovers over the face of the waters. But the primary point here is that the personal language is new in the text. Up to this point, God just says and says and says. When he creates us, God does something unique. Let us in our, summed up in the phrase, image of God. Which, if you heard it three times, it is stated in verses 26 and 27 alone. All other creatures are created according to their own kind. So dolphins are always like dolphins, never like grouper. I love grouper. If you have never eaten grouper, you need to, don't pass go, go directly to grouper. If you don't like fish, you gotta try grouper because it's delicious. But dolphins are never like grouper. Dolphins are always like dolphins. Tulips the same. They're always like tulips. They're never like roses. Butterflies the same. And I can go on and on. But when God makes us, he makes us like himself. Whoa! It's almost like God in his own mind had a prototype of dolphin in mind and he made dolphins like that. But when he created you, he was the pattern. God is the pattern for human. That's amazing. By the way, I said this in first service. This message calls for amens. It does. And I think I could find a group of people that would engage with amens. Yeah. Once I said that first service, everybody was like, all right, now that's enough, all right, because we got stuff to talk about. But this is amazing news that I am sharing with you today. What stirs in your heart when you hear that you were made to be like God? Awe, joy. It is so profound. God's like, I'm going to make dogs like that, and I'm going to make, you know, pumpkins like that, and I'm going to make Japanese maples and big orange sheep like that and like that. But when he came to humans, he said, they are going to be like me. When creation sees corn, they're going to know what I had in mind for a yellow, crunchy, buttery, sweet vegetable with butter on it. When they see Mount Everest, they're going to know what I think a mountain should look like. But when they see a human, they will catch a glimpse of me. Awe-filled joy. rushes your soul. Don't hold that back. Now, angels are far more powerful than us, but only we are made in the image of God, and angels are actually made to serve us. We are endowed with a privileged glory of God. When we see each other, we're to catch a glimpse of Him. We're not God. We're like God. And if we ever mix that up, we fall. That's next week. Did you hear it, the word over and over and over and over? God places us over everything created, but He retains dominion over us. God sets His imprint, His image, an authentic, tangible reflection of His glory in His world by creating you. And this was common, by the way, in the ancient Near Eastern world. A ruler would conquer land far away. And what they would do, because they can't be there, they would place an image or an icon of themselves in that land, representing them, reminding those people, who's king? Well, on the cosmic scale, that's us. God intends to remind all of creation that God is king through us. Intrinsic weightiness, everybody. There's glorious significance to your life. So much so, the only proper response to someone taking your life, Genesis 9:6, is to take theirs. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. And then the reason is given, because God made man in His own image. You know, you leave church today and you go to your car and you step on an ant. It is what it is. No one's going to take issue with that. I mean, we don't need to get magnifying glasses and burn them on purpose. You find one of those squirrely, hairy, centipede-looking things in your basement. You squash that thing. No one's like, well, now you've gone and done it. We're going to have to take your life. Why? Because the value's just not there. We know that intrinsically, inherently, we know that the value is not there. Let me step it up a notch. If you were to lose your cool, shouldn't do this, but if you were to lose your cool and maybe wound your pet, and maybe they were to pass, I mean, there would absolutely be societal shame. But even if, again, don't splice this on social media, even if you were to kill your neighbor's dog, you might spend a day or two in jail. But as heinous as that would be, courts would never take your life for that crime. Because, and I tread as lightly as I possibly can, because I know this is controversial for at least half of us, pets are not humans. Listen. And I'm going to be moving on from this point very quickly. Humans reserve the highest punishment for murder because of Genesis 1. Now, they wouldn't necessarily be able to put their finger on Genesis 1 and say this is why, but this is exactly why. For the inconceivable erasure of the reflected glory of God in the world. It's why, as the story unfolds, God ends up sending his pristine son as a human to die in our place. That is how glorious he created us to be. As Jill read from Colossians 1, let me just read again a few lines. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of the dead. In him, all of God's fullness was pleased to dwell. And through Jesus, God is reconciling all things to himself, making peace through the blood of the cross. Praise the Lord. When we receive Jesus, the marred image of God in us, which we'll talk about next week because of the fall, the marred image of God in us gets redeemed, and God begins transforming you from one degree of glory into another. Now, it is hard in this fallen world to feel your own worth. It just is, because we've taken so many doggone hits. We've taken hits from other people. We've taken hits from life itself. We've taken hits, if we're honest, even from the choices that we have made. And if it takes 10 attaboys to overcome one you idiot, how many you're glorious will it take to overcome I'm worthless? Listen, we have a mental health crisis upon us. I mean, we have never seen it, and it is coming in waves, and we don't even know what's on the horizon in this area. But I can tell you, you are connected to somebody who believes they're worthless. The world has told them that. Their own self-talk has told them that. Life has told them that. And it is only God's word ultimately that can reverse that and say, actually, while sinful, you're actually gloriously made in the image of God, made to become a child of God through the gospel of King Jesus. You are made to be glorious. You are made to live from that anchored truth and position. Psalm 8, we just sang it. God crowned us with glory and honor. And he gave us dominion over the works of his hands. And he put all things under our feet. Now, we forfeited that in the fall, but King Jesus has come and he redeems that through the cross. We are made to be royals. We are made to be royalty. We have our own strata in creation, more glorious than anything else in creation, less glorious than God, more glorious than the rest of creation. Own strata, no one like us. God, human, everything else. Which is why it is appalling, and I say this of myself, the thousand ways we diminish each other's value. You know, think of our seniors, the oldest among us They should have the greatest dignity. By golly, they made it. But they often feel jettisoned. They often feel set aside as a nuisance. There's glory there. Think about racial division in our nation that we've been wrestling with for so, so long. Martin Luther King Day is tomorrow. He ended up giving his life trying to convince us all that every human life matters. For everything I just shared, racism is wicked sin. Of all stripes, it's wicked sin, and it must be confessed. It is a maligning of the glory of God. I would encourage you, I would call you, do not be party to it. Do not enter into derogatory speech. Do not enter in. Do not justify it. Call it out. And actually, better than that, go on the offense and actively take steps to build relationships with those who look different than you. Foster trust. Get skin in the game, because people matter and most are unaware. Back in 1857, an amazing case, Supreme Court case, the Dred Scott case, encourage you to look into it. A Supreme Court justice from here in Ohio, I think he's actually buried here in Cincinnati, he wrote these words in his dissenting opinion. It was a 7-2. He was one of the two. Here's a quote. He says, "A slave is not mere chattel property." And then he says this, "He bears the impress of his maker and is destined to an endless existence." Where did he get that? Genesis 1. Genesis 1, the biblical God is the author of the dignity of human. And armed with God's word and God's son and with God's spirit in God's people, we are the ones, Hope Family, who can lead the way in a divided culture. And we must. Think of men and women with special needs. Or think of some of those, again, that are in your life that wrestle with emotional and mental health. They feel isolated. They feel ostracized. They are often made to feel less than on the basis of their inability to contribute. So many people in our culture do not feel like they fit for multiple reasons. I will never forget a private conversation that I had with a professor of philosophical ethics at Purdue University. It happened to take place in a whirlpool. That was a little weird. It was a gym kind of situation, just to give you the context. But he's sitting there, and I'm sitting here in our little corners, bubbles going crazy, right? And we're talking about ethics. I'm intrigued. I did not see this coming. At one point, he looks at me and he says, "We would be wise as a society to eliminate anyone who isn't contributing." A professor of philosophical ethics at Purdue University. Now, I was taught hard work, laziness should be held accountable. I got no problem with that. But God does not define worth on competence or utility. He defines our worth on the basis of his image. tall, small, heavy, thin, old, young, black, white, extrovert, introvert, educated, uneducated, human has treasured dignity, and we forget that to our own demise. Think about gender. You heard it here. He makes humanity in his image, male and female. The great battle of the sexes. It's unbelievable. We're at a point now where we have a Supreme Court justice who can't even define what a woman is. I mean, I pine for the battle of the sexes, the old days when we kind of wondered who was smarter, stronger, brighter. We can't even have those debates because we don't even know who we are anymore. What is a man? What is a woman? Totally up for grabs in our culture, not up for grabs according to God's word. We are coming apart at the seams. These are image of God questions. 127, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. There is zero daylight between men and women in value and worth. All of our interactions should leave everyone feeling a bit more glorious than before. So sad to me how we divide on the basis of everything we possibly can. Right? We divide on the basis of what degree do you have? What skill set do you have? What's your net worth? We divide over political affiliation. We divide over the position in the company or title. Do you feel the awesome weight of glory? And do you treat others in the light of it? Image of God. Made in the image of God. Image of God. Here's an extended quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, there are no ordinary people. Nations, cultures, and civilizations are mortal. They come and they go. And their life is to our life as the life of a gnat. Nations, cultures, civilization, these really big things compared to you are like a gnat. He goes on to say, it is immortals with whom we joke. It is immortals with whom we work, marry, snub, and exploit. Next to the Blessed Sacrament, he says, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. You're like, my neighbor? Hope family, it is on us to treat people with great dignity. Now, let me address briefly a common misnomer. I literally saw this, it was all week long, but I saw it again this morning as I pulled out of my neighborhood and passed the first church on the right. The sign, digital sign, said, everyone is a child of God. That does sound kind, but it is misleading and unbiblical in my view. Those who do not yet know God through King Jesus are worthy of our great respect and our gracious pursuit, but they are not yet children of God. Receiving Jesus by faith is necessary for that. John 1:11, John says that Jesus came to his own. And his own people, the Jewish people, did not receive him. But to all that did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. The gospel, receiving gospel grace through King Jesus, is how you join the family of God. Amen? The value of human life is one of the central reasons that Jesus came to give his life. He came to redeem our worth. He came that we might feel our worth and then that we might help others discover theirs as well. Because most of the people you cross paths with day in and day out do not know that they were made to be glorious after the image of God. Your neighbor may be a jerk. Your coworker may be a jerk. Probably because they do not know that they're glorious. They do not know that they're loved. They do not know that they can be forgiven and set free and transformed from one degree of glory to another. But you do. And it's not supposed to be a secret. This message that I'm sharing with you is some of the best news your ears will ever hear, but it is not intended to be kept as a secret. Where did we learn that to feel good about me, I have to feel worse about you? That's what plays out all the time in this world. God's like, no, no, no. Stop weighing your own worth in comparison to those around you. I know that's tempting. Stop doing that and start receiving your worth from the one who made you. God's like, let me tell you who you are. You've tried the world. You've tried yourself. Now try me. Let me tell you who you really are. Every person crossing your path this week has only a sliver of an idea how glorious they were made to be. We get to help them discover that. Amen? Oh my goodness, so many implications here. My guess is there will be some good questions this week submitted. I look forward to interacting with as many of them as possible. Think of three humans right now in your life. Take a moment. Who comes to mind? Do they know through your words, how you listen, your countenance and body language, your investment of time and energy? Do they know that they're treasured? This is why they should. Even our secular culture, it's amazing. They know that we should value each other. It makes laws. Our culture makes laws to protect people. But it can't put its finger on why. I was driving to church today, and I'm driving along, and I'm thanking God for red, yellow, green. It's great. It's a great concept. You drive through. I'm driving through this intersection through a green light, and I'm looking left and right, and I'm so thankful that these dudes here on the left and the right are staying put because they value my life, even though they don't know me. And I stopped at the next light and got frustrated that it wouldn't turn green faster, but I stayed where I was, and these cars are going this way and that way in front of me, and I stayed put because I valued their life. We don't know why we do this. It's called Genesis chapter 1. God made us to be like him. And maybe one of the greatest ironies in all the world is that we decide to try to make God in our image. We flip it. He makes us in his image, and we're like, well, actually, I want you to be like this. When actually, because he made us in his image, he's the one that gets to define what life is to be all about. Amen? God made you to express himself uniquely in his world. That is an amazing thought right there. Are you inviting his spirit to transform you from the inside out into the glorious version of yourself that he made you for? You can do that. This begins to lean into purpose, which I'm going to have to pick up next week because I'm running out of time. Time is a scoundrel. Do you know that I've not been there, but I have this sneaking suspicion that in the new creation, preachers like me are going to preach super, super long sermons, and people like you are not going to care. You don't care now. I appreciate that, but some people do care, but I do appreciate that. I do appreciate that. So next week, I'm going to try to tie 2 and 3 together. There it is. Let me just close with a few thoughts. Verse 28, God says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and what? Multiply and fill the earth. No wonder. God wants to fill the earth with his glory. And we are made in the image of his glory. So the more we multiply, the more his glory fills the earth. Makes a ton of sense. Image of God becomes child of God through redemption in the gospel. That's our identity. Multiplication is our mission. Filling the earth with the glory of God. And God's amazing. He has two ways for us to multiply. The first is probably the one that most naturally comes to mind, and that is by marrying and raising families of grace and love and multiplication. The second is we multiply when we help someone else's child discover their worth. We multiply when we help someone else's child receive grace and love God and love people and eventually multiply. This is the central mission of Hope Church. This is why we exist, to be a family that is equipping one another for multiplying discipleship. We don't just get this from the New Testament. We actually get it from Genesis 1. This has been the plan all along. One of the things I hope we all see as we make our way through the whole story is that the Old Testament God is not a different God than the New Testament God. This is one story from beginning to end. He is planning for multiplication of his glory from Genesis chapter 1. It just happens to take ultimately Jesus and the Spirit within God's people for us to get there. This is why we're on the planet. Even Jesus' last command in Matthew 28 is Genesis 1 to fruition. He says, as you go, in your going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. Why? Because God is most glorified when men, women, and children of all nations find their deep, lasting joy in him. Is that becoming your joy? Is that becoming your joy to help people get there? That's why we're here. We're not just here to make money. We're not just here to buy stuff. We're not just here to do stuff for ourselves. We're here to help people discover God's grace and grow to love Him and get equipped to multiply His glory all throughout this world. What a life. What a life. Man, it's tempting. I know it is for me too. It is tempting to look around you for your sense of worth. In our comparison addicted and achievement driven society, but looking around you will always let you down. Start looking above you. Created by God. Get this, as a unique expression of His glory, never before seen on planet Earth. Did you hear that? Did you know that about yourself? God's glory has shown up looking like something else, but it has never shown up on the earth quite like you. Oh man, if I ever have a chance when I'm meeting with somebody who is wrestling with their own value or their own worth, even all the way to the point of questioning whether they should be alive and questioning their own life and existence, man, this is where I want to go. I want to say, look, God can never and will never show up on earth in someone like you, except in you. That's profound. He gave His Son to save, and He is eager today to pour out His love into your heart by the Holy Spirit if you are ready to receive. God wants to redeem. God wants to transform, that He might multiply His life through His people. One of my dad's most remembered sermons, which he probably preached, you know, two or three times in public, but preached in our home to me probably 50 times. He would say to me, "Who tells you who you are, Stephen? Stephen, who tells you who you are? The culture? Your own negative self-talk? Or God's word?" "Dad, I'm going with this." "Who's coming with me?" Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that we have Your truth because You want us to know You. Because in knowing You, we become who You made us to be. Thank You for Your Son, for giving Your Son, Jesus. And Jesus, Your willingness to love us and to give Your life for us. Father and Son, pour out Your love into our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. Redeem the glorious version of us that You might get Your due in our life. Thank You for grace. Thank You for Your love. We want to love You. We want to love those You send across our path. We want Your glory to be multiplied in this world. Fill the earth with Your glory. Make it so. Draw each one of us to Yourself. It is a gift to be a child of God. God, I pray that every one of us would receive it. In Your name, King Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen.